Welcome to Friend of Maryland. My name is Kat Pause, and this is a fat-friendly space. Today on Friend of Maryland, I share my initial reactions to the piece on 2020 that aired last week about my fat activism. I share information about a Thump and Crawl Fat Tuesday fundraiser being held by Substantia Jones, and some great work being done on Twitter by Marilyn Wan. I chat with Julianne Wotasik, the Vice President of NAFA LA, and I spotlight a blog by Jen Levia on my big, fat, beautiful body. Last week on TV2, 2020 aired a segment about fat activism in New Zealand, and I was a rather large, pun intended, part of the story. I thought I would share my initial reactions to that piece here, although next week I plan to share much more reflective reactions after I've given myself more than just a few days to process the episode. My initial reactions were relief and excitement. This story's been 2 years building in the making, and I'm very aware that the kind of work that I do is quite vulnerable to being manipulated and exploited by people who are out to make fun or simply be incredulous. But I felt that the people and team at 2020 did a really nice job of presenting and embracing the beauty in what I do and encouraging others to see it and embrace it as well. If you haven't gotten a chance to see it, you can catch it at TVNZ On Demand under 2020, and I should be able to have it up on YouTube by the end of the day. Fellow rad fatty Substantia Jones is hosting a cash fundraising drive through her radio show on Tuesday, February 21st from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is from the event announcement on Facebook. Most of you know me as Substantia Jones of the Adipositivity Project, but in my other life and under the name my mama gave me, I program and host a weekly music show called Thump and Growl on a listener-supported radio station in New York City, broadcasting throughout the tri-state region as well as streaming online. I play a mix of rock, indie, soul, funk, jazz, blues, African reggae, and Latin, with the occasional smidge of hip-hop, country, and classical. Y'all know how during pledge drives, DJs whine and cajole, begging for money in exchange for memberships and shitty tote bags? Well, four times a year, that's me. It can suck at the other end of the airwaves too, but it's a necessary evil of commercial-free broadcast radio. To make my fundraising shows less god-awful, I will, as often as possible, create a music mix to offer to listeners as a gift for pledging their support. The songs contained therein are my favorites from the show, and usage releases are obtained from whoever owns the rights to each song, requiring that I get permissions from the artists, managers, lawyers, etc., which is why I only do it a couple times a year. Well, I've long wanted to compile a fat music mix for this purpose. I already play a lot of your Size Gives Me Size songs on the air, and I've done fat-themed shows and segments. But I figured if I had a successful fat music fundraising effort, it shows station management that more fat programming might be cool. The month of February is our winter fun drive, and I've talked the gauntlet of managers into letting me do it on Fat Tuesday. I'm so excited I could scream, and I hope you'll join me for the show. That is not the screaming. We're going to get so fat. Participating artists from a boatload of genres include Root Boy Slim, Eddie Mac, G Love, Savannah Churchill, David Honeyboy Edwards, Dirty Dubsters, the John Spencer Blues Explosion, Alana Bridgewater, Roy Milton, Richard Cheese, Mississippi Gabe Carter, Candy Kane, Troy Underwood, the DA, Kermit Ruffins, and the March 4th Marching Band. Licensing is still being sorted out with a few others, so there will likely be, as they say, more. So, Thump and Grump's Fat Tuesday fundraising show, Tuesday, February 21st, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Standard Time, on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. Also streaming live at stream.wbai.org. Call 212-209-2950 during the show to pledge and snag your CD. And when the phone volunteer asks whether I may read your name on the air, give them a big fat yes. And those calling in a pledge and paying via credit card during the show will be entered into a drawing for some fat swag, like an Adipositivity calendar and other fatty stuff, to be given away near the end of the show. So I encourage all of you to check out this awesome Fatlicious fundraising effort. Support Adiposity, support Substantia, support commercial-free radio broadcasts. Another current way to get involved in fat activism is happening on Twitter right now. Marilyn Wan and others involved in the fat activist movement are currently doing a bit of what could be called ninja activism on Twitter regarding Weight Watchers. So Weight Watchers with the hashtag Weight Watchers are often tweeting things to their followers about diets and losing weight and stepping on the scale and getting happy and getting in and living your life. Marilyn Wan is currently using that same hashtag and also the hashtag of health at every size in order to combat the messages of Weight Watchers. So, for example, a tweet, at Weight Watchers, easy steps number 6, avoid danger zones. Marilyn Wan tweets, at Weight Watchers says avoid danger zones. Hashtag health at every size says 95% who lose weight regain. Avoid dieting, it's a danger zone. Live now. Another great example, a tweet. At Weight Watchers, easy step number 5, anticipate motivational dips. Marilyn Wan tweets, at Weight Watchers says, anticipate motivational dips. Hashtag health at every size says, eat and exercise with joy, no need for motivation. Love you now. If you want to get involved, get involved. Tweet back to Weight Watchers. Take their messages of body hate and focusing on weight instead of health, and twist them into health at every size messages using science and body acceptance at the core. Joining me today is Julianne Wotasik, the Vice President of NAFA LA. Julianne, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Kat. It's a pleasure.
So tell us about NAFA. What is NAFA for those listening who don't know?
Well, NAFA is an acronym for the National Association to Advance Fat Acceptance, and it's a national organization. And then NAFA LA is a local chapter in Los Angeles that I help lead.
How long has NAFA and NAFA LA been around?
NAFA, the national organization, has been around since 1969, and NAFA LA has existed for over 20 years in different forms with different leaders. The current chapter makeup has been around for about 6 or 7 years.
You know, I think that'll be interesting to a lot of people that, as you said, the national chapter has been around since the 60s, because I think for a lot of people, you know, within the buildup of, you know, the obesity pandemic discourse in the last 10 years and this idea of like fat acceptance, it's really kind of a new idea that some people are being introduced to.
Absolutely. I myself was only introduced to it 6 or 7 years ago, and it was news to me. But actually, fat rights and fat acceptance has been there and present for, you know, almost 50 years. So it's not that it's new. I think we're just finally getting out to where people are hearing about it and being able to realize there's another option to fearing fat. There's an option to accept yourself.
So what exactly is it that NAFA does? Because you said that, you know, you use terms like fat rights and fat activism. So what exactly is the purpose of the organization?
Well, NAFA is the premier civil rights organization for size diversity within America. We partner with other organizations as well to work on things such as health at every size with ASDA, a medical, more medical-oriented organization, and we also partner with community organizations. But NAFA itself is a political organization, and we work to kind of help change laws as needed in order to accommodate people of size and to advocate for people of size throughout America and the world.
So you said that you yourself kind of only came to this about 6 years ago. Would you mind sharing kind of your story?
Absolutely. It's actually funny, but I saw an episode of CSI, and they had a convention of fat people, and I thought, well, oh my God, what the heck is that? And I looked it up and found NAFA, and they do actually have conventions, not so much like they do on CSI, but in real life they do have gatherings, and I was able to get plugged into the local chapter here in Los Angeles, met some amazing people, and that acceptance changed my life. And then it seemed like a very natural second step for me to want to be involved in spreading the word to change other people's lives and our society.
So how often does NAFA have, well, you said a convention? How often does that happen?
they have a yearly and annual convention where members from, you know, throughout the world come together, and we have a time of community and encouragement and strategizing. This year it'll be in San Francisco. They switch back and forth between East and West Coast, and it's typically in the summer.
Okay. So for people who are going, you know, NAFA LA, especially people that might be actually living in the LA area, if they wanted to get more involved, what could they do?
Well, you definitely are welcome to visit our website. The local chapter's website is NAFALA.org. It's NAASALA.org. And NAFA's national website is NAFA.org, so it's pretty easy. But as far as the local chapter, we're a really warm group of people from all different walks of life, and we have regular meetings and get-togethers, and we do different activities together, and it's just a really nice community to be a part of. And our hope is that as we bring people of all different sizes into this community and we empower them and help them understand, you know, the power of self-acceptance, that they then will stand with us when we do things that are more civil rights oriented. So we like to do it twofold, and we're very, very welcoming to anybody of any gender, any size of that. It doesn't matter, if even if you're thin, that's fine. Anybody who's interested in equality at every size.
It's funny that you brought that up, because my next question actually was going to be, so, you know, is it only fat people who are members of NAFA? But you said specifically that NAFA, and specifically like your chapter, NAFA LA, is actually quite inclusive, so people of all sizes can join?
Absolutely. We try our best to be very inclusive, and we'll continue to expand with that. But basically, fat people, as a lot of people understand, are at a disadvantage in our society, because we do, as a society, tend to, you know, prefer thinness and think that that is a beauty ideal. So it is a fat acceptance organization. But that said, fat discrimination affects everybody of every size. Even if somebody's not fat, they are given the same messages of having to avoid fat and, oh, my goodness, and you have to be this size, you have to look this way. Size acceptance affects everyone, and we want everyone to be involved in it, no matter what size they are. So we have men and women of all different sizes, from rather thin to what I call super fat. And we're very, very, very welcoming. We appreciate our allies that don't even have, you know, have never faced fat discrimination, but understand that it is something we need to work against in this society.
So if there are people listening who aren't interested in joining NAFA, and that could be because they, you know, don't live in the United States, or they, you know, just... I don't know, don't want to pay dues or whatever. What are some things that they could do that would still kind of contribute to the larger movement of fat activism and fat liberation?
Well, I would encourage people to get involved. First of all, we do have actual members of NAFA throughout the world.
Yeah, well, I'm one, and I don't live there.
And you can join and support NAFA's effort with a $15 a year membership, and that's a really nice thing to do. But to get even more involved, there's a really strong community online. If people have internet access, they can join us on Facebook, they can subscribe to our newsletter, they can stay abreast of what we're doing, and then often there will be ways that they can contribute. If we're helping support a campaign, they can contribute by, you know, writing in letters, or they can help us fundraise, or they can just be a part of the community sometimes, support other people. That's really powerful too. So look us up on Facebook. We're NAFA LA. NAFA also has a presence on Facebook, and you'll soon see we're all interlinked and we're all friends with everybody else. So get to be a part of the community.
So you had mentioned that the national organization has a convention every year. What kinds of things does the local LA chapter of NAFA get involved with?
Well, we typically try to do an activism activity every couple of months, and that could be anything from going into a bookstore and placing fat positive bookmarks in all the diet books to try to spread a little bit of love to the people that are buying into the diet industry. Or it could be having a table out on a promenade at a outdoor mall and having Marilyn Wan's Yay scale there and inviting people to come over, talk to us, and being very present and visible as fat people who are spreading this idea that fat is okay. So it ranges, our activism activities range, but we always do a community meeting once a month, and that goes all around Southern California. We cover from deep south San Diego all the way to Ventura County, and we bounce around, and sometimes it's as casual as a potluck. Sometimes we do something a little bit more involved, but community is a big thing for my chapter, and the people involved are so community-minded and want to be there to support each other. It is like a family, which sounds trite, but it truly is, and we're delighted to always welcome new people.
About how many members does NAFA LA have?
NAFA LA has about 40 members, not that 40 people come to every single event. Because we're so geographically spread out, it's usually about 15 to 20. But all in all, we have 40 pretty active members.
So, now that's awesome. I'm I don't live in LA. I wanna go to NAFTA LA and hang out with Julianne.
You can still be a part of our virtual community. You can totally like us on Facebook and stay in touch with what we're doing.
let's recap, because we need to wrap up. But if you'll just kind of share again, so if there are people who are interested in the LA area in getting involved in NAFTA LA, like, how can they contact you guys?
They can go to our website. It's NAFALA.org. It's NAFALA.org. Or they can email me at JulianneW@NAFALA.org. And NAFA itself, the national organization, is NAFA.org, and there will be a link to our site as well. And we're kind of intertwined there. So pretty much Googling NAFA even works. You'll find
us.
And again, my name's Julianne, and I'm delighted to talk to anybody, local or not, who's interested in being a part of NAFA or NAFA LA, and letting them know how they can plug in and receive the support that we offer and also contribute to the effort.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today, Julianne. I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us about NAFA and specifically about NAFA LA. And hopefully there'll be some people listening who will, give it a Google and sign up.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Kat. I appreciate the time and for your show and what you do.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you later.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. In the spotlight today is a piece by Jen Levia from The Fat and the Ivy. Jen was my guest a few weeks ago. This piece was published on the website rollreboot.org on February 13, 2012. The piece is entitled, My Fat, Beautiful Body. Quote, without fail at noon on every Friday, 30 minutes before my beginning ballet class starts, a mixture of fear and dread ooze into my mind. It starts when I think of getting dressed for class. Despite a well-stocked closet, I am never content with my choices. I spend 20 minutes scouring my closet for a garment that doesn't exist. I am looking for something that will make me invisible. Exasperated, I leave wearing the same men's gym shorts and oversized t-shirt. My nerves don't get any better once I get to class. I am scared to look at my body in the mirror. I am scared to compare my body to my peers. I try to stand in the back row as far away from the mirrors as possible, and I still occasionally catch a glimpse of my double chin or my belly escaping the drapery of my shirt. I am scared that even after working at accepting my body and fighting tooth and nail to get those around me to change their actions and opinions, I will see something repulsive. I can't get through a weekly dance class without having to give myself pep talks. It takes all that I can muster to remind myself that I am beautiful and, more importantly, worthy of being in that class. It takes all that I have to remind myself that I love my body and that I can take pleasure in moving it. I can take pleasure and find beauty in my body. I loathe classifying these problems, yes, I acknowledge that they're problems, as body image problems. Body image isn't really about the image of bodies. It's about the holistic relationships we have with our bodies. It's about how bodies look, how they move, what they feel like, how we treat them. Even if we ignore semantics, conversations about body image almost always come down to health. Most conversations I've had about body image blame the media and advertising for exposing young girls to impossible standards in order to sell products. But more than selling products, these images drive people to unhealthy habits, crash diets, disordered eatings, and sometimes even more dramatic actions like diet pills and self-harm. And yet many of these behaviors have been recommended to me by health professionals. You see, I'm fat. Not does this dress make me look fat, but eligible for weight loss surgery, morbidly obese, death fat. I've been fat for as long as I can remember, but the first time I remember my size being an issue was at a checkup. I was 8 years old, and after plotting my height and weight in one of those grids, my pediatrician had one of those talks with my parents and me. I was too heavy for my weight and age, so he presented me with a Xerox list of 10 helpful tips for eating. It was meant to be innocuous, but I became obsessed with that sheet of paper. It was the first time I saw my body as a personal failing, and that list was the way to redeem myself. I followed the rules to a T, and yet I didn't get any smaller. That simple piece of paper was only the beginning. My adolescence was filled with appointments with doctors and nutritionists, medically facilitated crash diets, and crying fits in dressing rooms. My doctors pathologized my body, and I believed them. I believed that my fat body meant that I was overeating, even when I would leave the dinner table hungry. I believed that I was lazy, unkempt, untrustworthy. I couldn't trust myself. I can't rely on a conventional understanding of health to fit my body image issues because my body image issues stem from those conventional understandings of health. To find peace with my body, I've had to reject mainstream medical wisdom. I screen my healthcare professionals and I set firm boundaries. I'm not interested in weight loss. I will not step on a scale. I don't care about a new diet regimen. I care about eating. I've learned to love my body. I love the look of my body. I love the way my squishy, soft flesh feels. I have embraced my fat. I do this because I care about my body. I care less about the image of my body, and I care more about my relationship to my body. When I stand at the bar to begin my weekly ballet class, I am reminded that loving my body is both difficult and important. As we go through the usual warm-up routine, I feel my muscles stretch and flex. I am present in my body, and I appreciate the grace and flow of movements. As we transition into leaps and jumps, I am reminded of that power in my body. My hearty legs can push my body in the air again and again in rapid succession. I land easily each time. I'm still scared that even after working to accept my body, I will catch a glimpse of myself in the mirror and find something ugly. So far, I've only seen my body, my fat, beautiful body. End quote. Closing the show is Abby Burke with Nothing Left to Learn. Stay.